Okay, Jeremiah chapters 18 through 20. Chapter 18, Jeremiah again is he's calling the southern kingdom of Israel to repentance. Now remember, the northern 10 tribes have been conquered by the Assyrians. God fought back the Assyrians by an angel that killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And then the Assyrians says, we're out of here, we're going home. But in doing that, they conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes from the north. They took them into slavery, dispersed them amongst the Assyrian Empire. And now the Babylonians are going to come, and God's going to use them to judge the southern kingdom, which is the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, were the southern kingdom. That's where Jerusalem is located in Judea. And of course, the biggest problem is that the northern kingdom wanted to worship God, but also wanted to worship all the gods. So they equated their God with all gods, but the other gods led them in all kinds of gross immorality and debauchery and wickedness and vileness. And so God says, okay, you guys are going to be judged. The southern kingdom, for the most part, stayed with only Yahweh, Jehovah God, and worshiped Yahweh. And then they get a bad king, and they'd start vacillating, and God starts bringing his judgment, and all of a sudden there'd be repentance, and then they get it right. Well, this time they're not going to get it right, and God is raising up his prophets to warn the people so that they would listen. God always gives an opportunity for people to repent and get right with him. He is a God who's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. That's his heart's desire. The gospel has gone out to the whole world. The whole world has heard about Jesus Christ. The whole world has heard about being born again. The whole world has heard about Christianity. And you and I are part of that proclamation, that preaching, that teaching of the Word of God so people will come to Jesus Christ, all of us together. Now, here in Jeremiah 18, God speaks to Jeremiah, and he wants the people to return from evil, to get evil out and to do good. So let's begin our reading. Verses 1 to 12, first of all. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord. Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. If we turn from evil, he will not bring judgment upon us. We, as these United States of America, we need to turn from our evil. We need to turn from telling our precious little children in the school classrooms and in the universities, these adults, we need to stop telling them the lie of evolution. Why do we keep propagating this lie of evolution when it's absolutely false? Now we've entered into the time period where now they're teaching little kindergartners and first graders and so forth that homosexuality is okay, when it's not okay with God. See, it's important for us to fight the good fight of faith. Now you must understand, Jeremiah is that man. You're going to see what he's going to go through here in a minute. As well as the apostles. As well as our Lord Jesus Christ. It's important for us to realize that they that live godly will suffer persecution. We don't invite it, but we have to proclaim God's righteousness, God's standards, God's morality. And it's unfortunate that now our country has reached a point in time where so many of the ungodly are ruling. And we are not going to have peace unless we get good, godly, righteous people into office who hold our values dear to their heart. So we find here, the word of the Lord came, O house of Israel. Can I not do with you as this potter says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull down, and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I have thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does, here's your key, I want you to underline that, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. We are at war against the forces of darkness, the forces of evil. We're at war against those who want to propagate that there is no God or to bring us into worshiping foreign gods and practicing their lifestyles. Ladies, do you want to be under Sharia? You want to wear a burqa? You want to be told you can't drive a car? You can't go out during the day? Who in the world would want to live under that type of governance? The Taliban, the stoning of women. Women have no rights, but do we hear anything from the women's rights groups of the Democratic Party voicing their opinions against that type of religion? And then say that it's peaceful? It's a religion of peace? No. It's not a religion of peace, especially for women. It's never been a peaceful religion throughout all of its history, throughout the entire world. It's killed over close to from 240 to 270 million people throughout its existence, and it's still killing today. And it seems like almost every problem we have throughout our world with terrorist attacks, there's only one religion that we find behind it, it seems. It's called Islam. Islam, majority. Let us wake up to reality. Let us pull our heads out of the sand. Let us stop saying, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil about Islam. It is not a good religion. It is barbaric. It is tyrannical. It is not good. But we put up with it, don't we? It's tragic. We are so far from our God. Just like the northern kingdom, just like Judah, we will embrace all gods. That's not how the founders founded our country. They were dealing with religion concerning Christianity because this nation was founded upon the God of the Judeo-Christian belief system by our founding fathers. It wasn't this idea that there would be Islam and other Hinduism, Buddhism, and all these other religions at that time in America. And thus they tried to give us the moral laws that are found, especially in the book of Deuteronomy, for us as a people, to protect us and provide for us, to have the checks and balances with the various branches of governance, the executive branch, the legislative branch, judicial branch, and you, we the people, a government of the people, by the people, for the people, so we can keep back the tyrants who want to reign and to rule and to take all of our possessions and make us slaves to the government through heavy taxation, regulation. This is what we battle. There's socialism and communism and these foreign religions, and so many times they want to reign and rule over our lives, tell us how to live, what to believe, what to follow. It's called tyranny. Thank God for the Bill of Rights. Amen? The freedom of religion, the free exercise thereof, the freedom of speech, the right to bear arms to protect us from a tyrannical government. That's what they gave it for, to protect ourselves from evil. And on I can go. But we find this. He says this. He says, if they do not obey my voice. Now let me just mention to you, okay, where does evil come from? Well, we know it comes from Satan, yes. He is the author of evil. But for us as mass humanity, here in America, here in Hawaii, this is what Jesus explains about evil in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 14 to 23. When he called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There's nothing that enters a man from the outside which can defile him." So if somebody says you have to eat certain foods, otherwise you're not right with God, that's not true. He says, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. So he said to them, "Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods." And he said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye." Here in Hawaii, we might say stink eye. "Blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." It is the sin that is within us, and it's manifested in so many ways. The evil. So when he says, if you do good, right on, I'll bless you. If you do evil, I will curse you. I want you to turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, real quick. Galatians chapter 5, middle of your New Testament, right before Ephesians. You have Galatians 5, after Corinthians. This passage actually led me to Christ, made me realize I was going to hell if I was to die without Christ. "I say then, walk in the Spirit." Go to verse 16 of chapter 5 of Galatians. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery," that is the taking of illicit drugs, pharmakia is the word in the Greek, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. Do we say domestic violence? Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What do we not get about this? It's very plain. If you live this lifestyle, you're a man or a woman of the flesh, and you live this as a practice of life, habitual practice of life, without repenting, turning from those sins, living for those sins, He says you will not inherit the kingdom of God, which means you're headed to hell. But here's the good news. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ, those who are Christ, who belong to Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You and I are called as believers to say no to sin, no to the flesh, yes to Christ, to crucify the old nature, to put that old man out of business, to put him to death, the sin nature to death, and to live the life of Christ. Now, this isn't earning your salvation. It is a manifestation of proof that you are saved. If you still live according to the flesh, it's probably proof you've never really given your heart to Christ. Sincerely, honestly, truly, repented, and asked Christ to save your soul and said, I will follow him. Did not Jesus say this? Of course he did. He said, let a man deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me daily. He's saying the exact same thing that Paul says. He says, you crucify the flesh. Let a man deny himself, take up that cross, and follow me. Now, why am I so adamant? Because I don't want anyone to be deceived, living a false religious life. Because Satan is a master deceiver. Guess what else? Your heart is deceitful and it's desperately wicked. And you'll convince yourself, I'm okay with God, and yet you're living according to the flesh. God understands. It's a unique situation with me. Me and my boyfriend, me and my girlfriend. Well, you know, it's the culture today. We just are living together and getting it on and all these things. It's no big deal. God understands, you know, and if we were to separate, it causes a financial burden. So God understands. He understands that you are not following him, that you're in sin, that Jesus is not the Lord of your life, nor is he going to be the Savior of your life. See, because our flesh will deceive us. This world will deceive us. Satan will deceive us. But the Word of God will not deceive us. The Word of God sets us free. If you want the blessings of God forever and ever and ever, then turn from sin and turn to Christ and live for him. And look at the product of living for Christ. Love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such kindness, against such, there is no law. Now, let's talk about marriages, right? Real quick. What if every marriage, the husband and the wife, bore the fruit of the Spirit? I don't know about you, but when I go to the produce section of the grocery store, I want to buy bananas or apples or peaches or pears or whatever it is, I don't just grab it and throw it in a bag and then throw it in the basket and go get checked out. I grab that piece of fruit and I look at it. How's that little basket of strawberries? You flip them over, oh man, there's rotten ones all over the place in there. I don't want that basket. Oh, this basket though. Oh, this is good, good strawberries. You see? Well, that peach is all bruised. That apple has a worm in it, whatever. Hey, you know what? He says, I want you to bear good fruit. You become attractive to one another. You bless one another. You're like, it's good fruit. It's edible, man. It's going to be healthy for me. A husband and wife make a decision. We're going to be people that bear the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to love the Lord. Every Christian, every single person does the same thing. See, this is where God says, oh, you're doing good, and I want to bless you and help you, provide for you. I'm going to use you tremendously in my kingdom. Go back to Jeremiah. See, this is when we look at the Old Testament, we go over to the New Testament and say, how does this relate to us in the New Testament? Well, God is teaching us the same thing, whether it be for a nation or be for an individual. Then he says in verse 11, now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Remember, Judah is a southern region with two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. Judah was a larger one. That's why it's called Judah, of course, a praise. And Jerusalem was located in Judah. He says to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, everyone, from his evil way and make your ways and your doings what? Good. Do good, you guys. Do good. And then he says, and they said, that is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart. Wow. You turn on television. How much evil do we see constantly on television? Constantly you're pummeled with so many things that are ungodly or unrighteous, promoting homosexuality, lesbianism, it promotes abortion, promotes immoralities, the cable stations, everything that's out there, the HBO, the Showtimes, all these things, it's all out there, and then you get the porn on the internet, all these things to drive you away from God. And it is relentless to comedians, to everybody else. It is relentless to school, to writings, to education, to books, and on the list can go. And they said, that is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart. When I looked to verse 10, I thought about that, obeying the voice of God. God spoke that also in the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible, in Exodus 19, 3-6. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, there, Mount Sinai, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. God had told them in the Torah, the times of Moses, 1400 BC, hey, listen, guys, listen. If you follow my word and you obey my voice, I will bless you. You'll be a special people. You're going to be a holy nation. I will provide for you. I'm going to just pour out my blessings upon you. But he also had told them, if you don't, then judgment will come. So they're forewarned. They know exactly what's going to happen. And God speaks the same to us. In the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, we have this exhortation. You and I are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you and I may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, Peter writes, beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Peter says, look, guys, you know how Israel was chosen? You're also chosen. You are what? A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people. That's who we are as Christians. And God says, I'll bless you. Don't go after the lust of the flesh. Don't go that direction. Obey my voice. God changeth not. He is the same God of the Old Testament as in the New Testament. He's the same God today as he was in the very beginning. He says, just obey my voice. What was the problem with Adam and Eve? They did not obey the voice of God. Adam, Eve, do not eat of the tree of the fruit. Don't eat of the fruit of the tree with the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. What do? They did not obey his voice. He asked one thing. He provides this beautiful Garden of Eden, Garden of Delight. Everything's provided, everything. All the animals, you could pet a lion, you could, you know, play with a snake, whatever. Everything was beautiful, perfect, everything. And no problem. All the trees are provided, all the water systems are provided. Just do this one thing. Don't eat of the tree with the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it. What do they do? They listen to the voice of Satan. They go and they eat of the tree, and we've been a mess ever since. Amen? And people are still not obeying the voice of God. This is why we stay in the Word of God. We preach the Word of God. We learn the Word of God. We follow the Word of God. We live according to the Word of God. And we'll be a blessed people. Amen? Go to verse 13. Therefore, thus says the Lord, ask now among the Gentiles. Thus says the Lord, ask now among the Gentiles, who has heard such things. The virgin of Israel has done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow water of Lebanon, which comes from the rock of the field? Will the cold flowing waters be forsaken for strange waters? I've provided for you. I've blessed you with the promised land. Are you now going to disobey me, and then an enemy will come and take you over and take you to strange waters? Because my people have, here's your key, highlight this, they have what? Forgotten me. Sometimes people, they just forget about the Lord. They don't follow the Lord any longer. They don't follow his word any longer. They can show up in church, but they have forgotten the Lord because they're no longer in his word. They're no longer following his word. This is they forget the Lord. The Bible says here, they have burned incense to worthless idols, and they have caused themselves to stumble in their ways, from the ancient paths to walk in pathways and not on a highway, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and shake his head. I can't believe what's happened to America. I can't believe what happened to Israel. You see what I'm saying? What's happened is we have left the Lord our God. Now, we, as the United States of America, there's a bunch of folks that want to live for God, and there's a bunch of folks that hate God. And this is the battle we're in. And basically, with every election, it shows our true colors. Which way are we going to go? For more evil? Will we just lay down and play dead and let evil stomp all over us? Or will we fight the good fight of faith and say, enough is enough? No longer will we stand by and do nothing. We'll be involved in our nation for the sake of the next generation and the generation after that and beyond. We will be Christians that are Christians of the book of Acts in 2017. We are Christians of action in our nation. We are salt and light to our nation. Salt stings when it hits the wound. It is a purifier. And there's a lot of people that don't like our sting when it comes to the Word of God and what we stand for. And they will mock you, and they will ridicule you, and they'll denigrate you. They may even beat you. But we will not give in, and we will not give up. We will not surrender, because we are Christ followers. Jesus will not permit it. We do violence to no one. So please hear me clear. But we will stand strong in what we believe and proclaim it, and do the best we can to be involved in the process that in this great nation to vote properly, to get the right people in office, to get right legislation going so that this country will be protected with the principles and the precepts of God, which is always good, always good. because my people have forgotten me. Everyone who passes by will shake their head. Verse 17, I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. They're going to be hauled out of here, man. They're going to be marching away as slaves to Babylon, to be dispersed amongst the Babylonian Empire. The Babylonians will conquer the Assyrians, and those from the northern kingdom now become possessions of the Babylonians, and now the southern kingdom will also be taken as a possession. Then they said, verse 18, then they said, come and let us devise plans against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us attack him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. The priest, the prophet, their words, their declarations, the religious systems of their day would all be against the true prophet of God, Jeremiah, as he proclaims the true word of God. Do you know that there is a world council of churches that does not believe like us? Do you know there's a world council of churches that believes Israel is wrong in everything it does? You know, there's a world council of churches that believes we just need to fall in line with this whole idea of homosexual marriages and abortion and all these things. And even the Roman Catholic Church is starting to make its move that way as you listen to Pope Francis. As well as the Catholic Church saying, you know, we could probably accept evolution. Really? What does your Bible say? The Bible says God created mankind in 6 days. Everything was made in 6 days, 24-hour days. It says that God made Adam and Eve. We didn't evolve. We did not evolve from some critter coming out of the ocean. We're not some slime, some amino acids that gather together and then form themselves and then crawled out. And then there's one transition after another transition, another transition. We have all these. There are no transitional forms. Every species is made after its own kind. Each species has a chromosome DNA, and it has a code. There's a code for elephants, a code for tigers, a code for humanity, a code for dogs, a code for birds, so forth. They each have their individual code. There's no crossing over. There's no inner developments. This doesn't exist. It never has. It never will, because God's word is sure. Amen. Science proves it. We're going to find that missing link, I promise. You fool. The foolish in his heart, there is no God. The God that we serve is omnipotent. He made the heavens and the earth, the universe. He's in all places at all times. We're such a little piece of sand. Compared to him, we're nothing. We're nothing. He set the stars, the planets, the galaxy. He's got the sun. He put that big fiery star out there. It is blazing. And he's got us just in the right place so we don't freeze up or burn up. And he gave us this planet as a gift. See, this is our God. And he made you and me special. And he wanted to love us and take care of us and cherish us. But we slap him in the face and we crucify him. We say we don't want him. We use his name in vain as a cuss word. Nobody says, oh, Muhammad, when they hit their finger with a hammer. Oh, Buddha, 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 Buddha. Nobody does that. It's always the name of Jesus Christ that uses a swear word, because Jesus Christ is the only name by which man can be saved. And Satan has taken the most precious name of all and made it a swear word. And people use his name as a swear word constantly, all day long. All day long. You know why? They don't know God. And they follow, the Bible says you're a child of God, you're a child of the devil. A child of the devil will use Jesus' name as a swear word. Child of God says, no, that name is precious now. I used to use that as a swear word. I can testify. I know what it's like to use God's name in vain, the Lord's name in vain. But once I became a Christian, it became precious. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He died for me. He loves me. And I will not denigrate his name any longer. This is the Christian life. Come, let us get Jeremiah. Let's get rid of him. I don't like what he's saying to us. Jesus warned us that there would be persecution. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Matthew 5:10. Remember what Jesus said to us as Christians. And I want you to just embrace this and be used to this. Now, we don't want to be obnoxious as Christians, but we want to be true Christians and share our faith with people, and you're not always going to be received. Some will receive. Some will say, I've got to think about it. Some say, I hate you. We find ourselves in chapter 5, verse 10. Jesus says, Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, rejoice, and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We're reading one of those prophets who were persecuted before us. His name is Jeremiah. Go back to Jeremiah. He says, verse 19, give heed to me, give heed to me, O Lord, and listen to the voice of those who contend with me. Shall evil be repaid for good? For they have dug a pit for my life. So here's Jeremiah. Hey, Lord, help me out. Remember that I stood before you to speak good for them, to turn away your wrath from them. Therefore, deliver up their children to the famine and pour out their blood by the force of the sword. Let their wives become widows and bereaved of their children. Let their men be put to death, their young men be slain by the sword in battle. I know that Jeremiah, he's really feeling the pressures. Lord, you take care of them, man. You got to fight for me. You got to get rid of these wicked people. They all want to kill me. And he says, let a cry be heard from their houses when you bring a troop suddenly upon them, for they have dug a pit to take me and hidden snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, you know all their counsel, which is against me to slay me. Provide no atonement for their iniquity, nor blot out their sin from your sight, but let them be overthrown before you. Deal thus with them in the time of your anger. So he's feeling the heat. He's feeling the pressure. He's feeling all these people are against him. They want to put him out. They want to kill him. And he's saying, Lord, you got to fight for me. Go to chapter 19, the valley of slaughter. Thus says the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen flask and take some of the elders of the people and some of the elders of the priests and go out to the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the potsherd gate, and proclaim there the words that I will tell you, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring such a catastrophe on this place that whoever hears of it, his ears will tingle, because they have forsaken me and made this an alien place, because they have burned incense in it to other gods, whom neither they, their fathers, nor the kings of Judah have known, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. They have also built the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or speak, nor did it come into my mind. They're sacrificing their babies to Baal. Listen to what God says. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. This Tophet is a place southeast of Jerusalem in the valley of Hinnom, where child sacrifices were offered and the dead bodies were buried or consumed. Topheth is also another name, Chemosh, or a Moabite god, and Molech, the Ammonite god, were worshipped at Tophet through a practice despised by God. It was infant sacrifice. Two kings of Judah, Ahaz and Jehoahaz and Manasseh, made their own sons pass through the fire. Godly King Josiah stopped this horrible practice, possibly by dumping the garbage of Jerusalem at Tophet. The prophet Isaiah used Tophet as a symbol of the death and destruction which God would use as judgment against the king of Assyria. Jeremiah proclaimed that God's judgment would fall upon the Judeans for sacrificing their infants to Baal. The burial of slaughtered Judeans at this place would be so great, said Jeremiah, that the name Tophet would be changed to the Valley of Slaughter. God told that to Jeremiah. Jeremiah also announced that God would make Jerusalem itself a defiled place like Tophet because of the idolatry of the city. We, as the United States of America, supposedly one nation under God, have sacrificed 60 million babies to Baal. We worship sexuality without responsibility. The butchers go in and chop up the arms and the legs of these precious babies and pull them out with forceps. They pith the back of the brain of the head of the skull, and they suck out the brain so the head will collapse, and they pull the baby out. They vacuum out its parts. They put in a solution to dissolve the baby and kill the baby. What is the difference? We are just as vile, just as wicked, just as evil. We just do it in a hospital room, and we say it's okay. Sick. We are a deceived nation. We're a deceived people. We're a despicable nation. We're a despicable people. We're just as vile, just as wicked, just as barbaric. We need to own it, and we need to repent of it. And just as God says, if you turn from evil, I will do good for you. God doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants all people to come to repentance. You see, we have all been deceived. All of us have been deceived. And we have followed the ways of Satan. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. This is not to condemn anybody that's had an abortion. This is not to condemn anybody that's had an abortion or who has promoted abortion, but rather it is to get us to wake up as a nation and to turn from this hideous practice of abortion. And if you've had one, God wants to help you, and God wants to heal you, and God wants to teach you, and God wants to use you to tell others, don't do what I did. It has hurt me emotionally. It has hurt me psychologically. And for many, it has hurt them physically. Don't do what I've done. We turned. We were ignorant. We did not know. We were blinded by the enemy, and we made this choice. And it was the wrong choice. And God forgives, and God heals, and God will bless you. But we must all turn from this hideous practice of abortion. It is nothing more than sacrificing the babies to Baal. There's nothing new under the sun. Satan wants us to practice all these things just as they were practiced in the Old Testament. And I will make void the counsel of Judah, he says in verse 7. And Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hands of those who seek their lives. Their corpses I will give as meat for the birds of the heaven and for the beasts of the earth. I will make this city desolate and a hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and hiss because of all its plagues. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters. And everyone shall eat the flesh of his friend in the siege and in the desperation with which their enemies and those who seek their lives shall drive them to despair. Then you shall break the flask in the sight of the men who go with you and say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, Even so, I will break this people and this city as one breaks a potter's vessel which cannot be made whole again. And they shall bury them in Tophet till there is no place to bury. Thus I will do to this place, says the Lord, and to its inhabitants, and make this city like Tophet. And the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled like the place of Tophet because of all the houses on whose roofs they have burned incense to all the host of heaven, worshiping the stars and gods and goddesses, and poured out drink offerings to other gods. Then Jeremiah came from Tophet, where the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring on this city and on all her towns all the doom that I have pronounced against it, because they have stiffened their necks that they might not hear my words." Boy, what a job Jeremiah had, amen? Who was with him? Nobody. But he is committed. He will follow the Lord no matter what. I never want to be misunderstood. There are things that I preach that will be a declaration to the nation for us to repent. But for all people that have done, like myself, all of us, we've sinned, we've done wrong, you're not to be condemned. You're to be forgiven in Jesus Christ. You're to be healed by the word and the power of God. See, I sometimes get misunderstood. I'm just condemning. I'm not here to condemn. Jesus said, "I came not to condemn, I came to save." But we must awaken our nation to sin and how the depths thereof, because we just gloss over everything. We have all these fancy words we put around it and say, "Oh, it's, you know." No, this is the murder of children, babies. Let's finish chapter 20. Jeremiah is persecuted. Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur struck Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it happened on the next day that Pashur brought Jeremiah out of the stocks. And Jeremiah said to him, "The Lord has not called your name Pashur, but Magor Misabib," which means literally terror on every side. You're going to have terror on every side, Pashur, for doing what you've done. "For thus says the Lord, behold, I will make you a terror to yourself, to all your friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and your eyes shall see it. I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive to Babylon and slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the wealth of this city, all its produce and all its precious things, all the treasures of the kings of Judah. I will give into the hand of their enemies, who will plunder them, seize them, and carry them to Babylon. And you, Pashur, and all who dwell in your house shall go into captivity, and you shall go to Babylon, and there you shall die and be buried there, you and all your friends to whom you have prophesied lies." See, this is where we must preach the entire word of God. If I don't preach the entire Bible, I'm not given the whole story. I have to preach the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation as a pastor. If I leave any book out or any part out or the book of Revelation out, I am in sin. I'm lying to the people. I'm deceiving the people. Because judgment is coming upon the world. The church needs to wake up to the great tribulation period that is coming. We need to repent of our sins. We need to get right with God. We need to live for God. We need to proclaim the goodness of God, the salvation of Jesus Christ. I also warn people about this great judgment and deception that's coming through Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet. If I do not do that, then I've not done what God has called me to do. It'd be like Jeremiah said, "Oh, Lord, I don't want to tell people that. Look, they're going to throw me in stocks. They're going to beat me. We must tell the world what's coming. The whole word. to the whole world. Amen? Oh, Lord, verse 7. Oh, Lord, Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah, he's gone through this. He's been hit and stocks and prison, these things. And so he starts to complain to God. You know, it's typical. He's just a regular guy like us, okay? He starts to complain to God. Oh, Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted, violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. This is the passion of every preacher, that the word of God, you just can't hold it back. You got to teach all of it. Some preachers have left the ministry. Get back into the ministry. Get back. You're hearing it on the radio right now. Get back into the ministry. Get back to preaching the word of God. Get back to teaching the whole word of God. You're not going to be received by everybody. Get over it. But you must do what God has called you to do because it burns within your bones. You have to preach the word of God. For I heard many mocking. Fear on every side. Report, they say, and we will report it. All my acquaintances watched for the stumbling, saying, perhaps he can be induced. Then we will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, you are you who test the righteous and see the mind and heart. Let me see your vengeance on them, for I have pleaded my cause before you. And then also he breaks off in verse 13. It gets a little bit different. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's kind of like, okay, enough already. Sometimes I feel that way. Enough already, man. You guys have had enough. Me up here yelling and screaming. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. For he has delivered the life of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Cursed be the day in which I was born. Now he goes kind of into a pity party. Let the day not be blessed in which my mother bore me. Let the man be cursed who brought news to my father saying, a male child has been born to you, making him very glad. And let that man be like the cities which the Lord overthrew and did not relent. Let him hear the cry of the morning and the shouting at noon because he did not kill me from the womb that my mother might have been my grave and her womb always enlarged with me. Why did I come forth from the womb to see labor and sorrow that my days should be consumed with shame? You know what? We vacillate, don't we, emotionally? Don't we vacillate emotionally sometimes? We're like, you're on fire for God. You're just going. And then all of a sudden, things aren't working out. Things aren't happening. There's trials and there's tribulations and there's persecutions and things happening. He's, I just want to quit. Just give up. People aren't listening anyway. Why do this anymore? We have our pity parties, don't we? Make them short. It's a quick party, okay? And let's get back to work in the kingdom of God. Let's get back in the word of God. Let's get back in obeying his voice and following his ways and living for Jesus Christ. You know what? If you've blown it, let's get right tonight. Amen? Let's get right tonight. We've all blown different things in different ways throughout our lives, our Christian faith. But you know what? Our God is a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. His mercies are new every morning. Amen. Don't you love that? Every morning you wake up, oh, Lord, thank you for mercy. His mercies are new. And I love it, too. It says, they are tender mercies. I like tender. That's our God. Now, folks, you and I are in the last days. Jeremiah was persecuted. Babylon was raging. All of its religious systems, all of its power, everything that's there, we see that with us right now today. My friends, hang in there. Hang tough. Be strong. Be steadfast. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. stay away from sin, live for the Lord, and God will take care of us. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you for this time in your word, this powerful, powerful man of God, Jeremiah, so human, so like us. And we see the society is just like ours. Oh, wow. And Lord, which tells us judgment's coming. And it's found in the book of Revelation. And so, Lord God, may use us to save as many as possible to warn them so they would turn and not burn. And they'd come to the love and the grace and the mercies of God. Forgiveness of sin and the hope of heaven. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed, my dear friend, are you saved? Have you given your heart to Jesus Christ? Have you invited him into your heart? Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone will open the door of their heart, I will come into them, and I will sup with them. I'll have a loving relationship with you. If you want that tonight, to go to heaven, for sure, to have your sins forgiven, your life changed, then please raise your hand. Anybody here you need to get saved, raise your hand. Anybody here? Lord, anoint us throughout this week and use us to reach family, to reach friends, to reach coworkers by the smile on our face, the love in our hearts, the service with our hands, just to touch hearts and to touch lives, to bless people. May you just use us tremendously to be salt and light to all people. Oh, we pray for our nation, God. Oh, we pray for our nation that we would turn from our evil ways. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said,